we present Best Sellers. Best Sellers, featuring great works by famous authors of today and yesterday. In June 1942, two German U-boats headed quietly into American waters, aimed at two isolated beaches. On board each craft was a team of four men, eight specialists, primed for an audacious mission, codenamed Operation Pistorius. But neither team knew of another passenger with an even greater mission that could shake the world. He was the Ninth Man. The Ninth Man. A chilling story based on historical fact by John Lee and dramatized for radio in 25 episodes by Victor Max.
Four German agents from the U-202 were on their way from Amangenset to New York on Saturday morning, June 13th, 1942. I was still blissfully unaware of what was to come, and was 200 miles to the southwest of New York City, at the Maryland home of the late Congressman Prentice T. Cogswell, about 30 minutes north of downtown Washington, D.C. That day, as Captain Andrew Blasek, U.S. Army, White House security liaison, I was under attack of another kind, trying to fight a frontal assault from a tanned Mr. and Mrs. team. The male member, whom I had been introduced to as Howard, had quickly spotted the weakness of my backhand and passed the message on to his wife. Between them, they had done their level best to pulverize me, to the great amusement of my partner, Gay Cogswell.
Coming up!
Blast!
Nice try, old buddy. That one was a bit too fast, I'm afraid.
Heavens, baby, when are we going to get that lead out of the backhand of yours?
Oh, stop ragging him, Gay. Pay no attention to her. Howard and I like your game just fine.
You would, Blanche, dear. You're winning. I'll have to spend a little more time with him this weekend, helping him develop his stroke.
Not really, Gay. Look, I...
Hey, come on, you two. Blanche and I got you on the run. This is match point.
Stay in there, lover.
Yeah, right, okay.
I'll get up to the net and try to keep him at bay. All right, Howard. Serve, damn you. I could beat you by myself if I wanted to. Do your darndest.
At your service, madame.
Oh, well done, Andy. Keep it up.
Blast, here it comes again. I'm down.
Oh, tough luck, Andy.
Game, set, and match.
So help me. If he jumps the net, I'm going to punch him right in the mouth.
Be patient, baby. They'll only be here one night.
How about it, old buddy? You and Gay want to take another crack at this?
No, I think he's had enough for one morning. A little breakfast is more than overdue.
Who can say that again?
You know, old buddy, you could really make a good tennis player if you just keep working at it. You got the musculature for it. Nice and lean, good long arms and legs. I'll bet you were good at basketball when you were a kid. He sure had us sweating a couple of times out there.
Sure, when he went to the water cooler. You were afraid he wouldn't come back and you'd have to face me alone. But give him time, Howard, give him time. He'll be a real tiger one of these days. On the courts, I mean.
You just keep practicing like my Howard says, Captain. My Howard knows what he's talking about.
Oh, yeah?
He could have been a pro if he'd wanted to. He used to beat the congressman regularly.
Really?
And the congressman was a fine player.
So I've heard, a very fine player.
That spread looks real good.
Well, it's half a... I'm hungry.
Yeah, here.
Well, what do you think of the war situation at the moment, Captain?
From whose point of view? The Japs or ours?
Well, I don't expect us to pull off another Addis Ababa or turn Tokyo into another Pearl Harbor at this early stage, but from what we heard recently about the Coral Sea battle, it sounds as though the tide may be turning a little bit in our favor.
Yeah, you could be right there. But it was very sad news to hear about the sinking of our beloved old Lexington.
Yeah, like Britain's HMS Hood. One wouldn't have believed it could happen. Anyway, Japs were halted for a while. They didn't manage to take Port Moresby. Could be the start of the rot, as far as they're concerned.
Well, let's hope so. We've got an awful long way to go before the tide really turns in our favor.
Well, before April, the Japanese were convinced they were absolutely invincible. Doolittle's bombing of Tokyo made one hell of a difference. Must have been the last thing on God's earth that they expected. Courageous and brilliant enterprise. Hope we have a few more tricks like that in the bag.
Yeah, I hope we do.
Hey, when you going to bring this young fella up to Philadelphia for a visit? We'd be happy to put you up, Captain Blake.
The name's Blasek.
I could have sworn Gay said it was Blake.
You've been thinking of changing it, haven't you, baby?
No.
Well, you ought to. You really ought to. You told me yourself that your mother wanted you to. And he's thinking of going into politics. I'm afraid people won't be able to pronounce the name unless he anglicizes it. Blasek or Blake?
Oh, I don't know. Blasek. Blasek. What is it? Slavic?
Actually, it's Hungarian. Right, darling?
My, how interesting. Is he from Hungary? That would be something of a handicap for going into politics, wouldn't it?
No problem. He's from Colorado. Native born and all that.
Maybe he ought to stick to Blasek in that case. He'd get all the Colorado vote in Colorado that way. Don't you think so, Howard?
Now, girls, don't discuss the man as if he weren't here. Are there many Hungarians in Colorado, Captain? Maybe I've got my voting blocks mixed up, but I thought Colorado's minorities were mainly Italians and Mexicans.
No, the state doesn't have many Hungarians, as far as I know. At least not in Trinidad, where I come from. And I'm not really giving much thought to politics anyway.
Oh, no, Andy, don't say that. He is, Howard. He's just being modest. This damn war isn't going to last forever, and Andy would be perfect for a political career.
Is your family still in Colorado, Captain?
My father is, yes. My mother is dead.
Oh, what a pity. And what does your father do? Is he in business?
He's in mining. Andy's really awfully well connected in the state. A former lieutenant governor in Andy's hometown is practically his second father. And Brigadier General Jeremiah Roach, you remember him? He used to run the Quartermaster Corps or something. But his wife got TB and he moved out of Colorado. Well, he's practically Andy's third father, you might say. The general's been very active on Andy's behalf. And so was Horace Tucker. But he retired from the army last year, damn him. But then there's Andy's job at the White House. Now that gives Andy a really marvelous political base.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What kind of thing do you do at the White House, Captain?
Very little, really. It's a phony sort of job. Carries an impressive title, but no influence.
Baby, I wouldn't say that. He's really far too modest. Andy is the liaison officer between the executive and the military. It's a euphemism for looking after the president's security. And if that isn't important, what is, hey? Very hush-hush, of course. As I say, he's just being modest, aren't you, darling?
The heck I am. You should come down sometime and watch everybody ignore me.
Well, they couldn't ignore you too much. Gay tells me you're going up to Hyde Park next week when the president meets with Churchill for the secret war talks.
That was not supposed to be talked about, Gay.
Loose lips sink ships, right? Don't you worry, Captain. We're completely trustworthy.
You'll have to forgive us if we sound like prosecuting attorneys, Captain. It's just that Gay's so very dear to us. We're very interested in her friends.
Tell us, Gay, where did you find this charming young man anyway?
Funny you should ask that. At a bar about 6 months ago, he picked me up.
Not really. Don't be such a tease.
Honest. He was completely sloshed and sitting on a bar stool. Every time a woman passed him, he gave her the old once over, you know, but he's a fussy gopher. So he naturally picked me, didn't you, darling? Oh, yes, he said, lady, you're a little fat, but I like my women built for comfort, not speed, so how about it? Naturally, I was so taken by surprise, so overwhelmed, that I literally threw myself at him.
My, how original.
Don't believe a word of it. She's lying.
Oh? Well, maybe I've got you mixed up with one of my many other admirers.
Actually, it was at a cocktail party. I was sitting on a couch, minding my own business, when you walked up and said, "Listen, Buster, I've been trying to catch your eye all evening, and you haven't looked up once. Now, are you going to take me home or not?"
Oh, you rat! That's not true either, and you really well know it.
Well, never mind. Whatever happened, it's just lovely that the two of you did meet. Somehow. Poor Gay has been so alone since the congressman's untimely death. My, what a pity that was. He and Gay made such a lovely couple.
Mm. Yes, that's what everyone tells me.
And that lovely little daughter, Gay Lynn, she's such a lovely little thing. She looks a great deal like the congressman, don't you think, Captain?
I'm afraid I never met the congressman. I've only been in Washington about a year now. Gay, I wonder if I could use your telephone. I really ought to call the office and tell them where I am.
Oh, of course. You two will excuse us a moment, won't you? I want to have a word with Mattie about lunch. See if she has anything special in mind. Oh, she's absolutely marvelous when it comes to cooking. I don't know what I'd do without her.
Oh, please, please, go right ahead. We can fend for ourselves. More coffee, my dear?
I'd love another cup.
What's all this bull about calling your office? You know damn well they know where to find you if they ever need you.
I guess I needed a bit of fresh air. Things were getting a bit too personal. And speaking of bull...
Oh, now, lover, there's no harm in gilding the lily a little. Lesson number 37 in politics. Impress everyone you run across. You never know when they might be useful.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. This politics business... Look,
there's
it's
no
not...
need to get mad because Howard and Blanche have been trying to give you the old third degree... They're only trying to protect me, honey babe.
Mm.
You know how it is with us merry widows, all hot and bothered from lack of love and care. We're pushovers for unscrupulous young bachelors like you.
Hey, come on now. If anyone needs protection right here, it's me. I'm just a poor little innocent country boy snared in the clutches of an older woman.
Oh, you swine, Andy. If you're so damned innocent, stay in your own room tonight. Maybe you should anyway. I mean, I wouldn't want my dear old friends to get the wrong idea about you. Howard's got connections all over the place. I want them to like you.
Oh, the devil with that.
But, darling, what if they hear you tippy-toeing through the halls in the dark of night?
Gay, honey, they don't have to listen for suspicious sounds. With that charming, sweet, big mouth of yours, you'll tell them all about it at breakfast tomorrow morning anyway. Gay Cogswell looked particularly lovely that morning. She was dazzling on a tennis court, her plump, ripe, comfortable body poised for action, her tanned legs braced for the serve and then moving in with the lithe, liquid, flowing movement of a cat. We had met each other through the good offices of General Horace Tucker, for whom I ended up working as a young lieutenant, as his personal aide. Through his good offices and stern but wise tutelage, I became a captain with a good conduct medal pinned to my chest. I looked so good in those days that he used to lend me out as an escort to spare ladies for those special cocktail and dinner parties in Washington. Looking at Gay, relaxed and at ease that beautiful sunny morning, little did I realize how much the events of the next few weeks were destined to change our lives. Back in a Mangan set on that morning of Saturday, June 13, 1942, the man who was to play such a large part in effecting that change, the ninth man, was being given good reason to wonder whether all had not gone as well as planned with the group who had landed on our shores from the German submarine U-202. A man of considerable ingenuity, he had already managed to blend in well with the surroundings, acquiring a pair of ragged gardening gloves and a stolen trowel encrusted with dry mud. He already looked the part of the itinerant working man. At that time of the morning, he was in a general store, endeavoring to make a few further purchases to help him in his role.
Hey, do you hear about them spies?
Spies? What spies?
About 10 or 12 of them, just down the beach from here. Coast Guard spotted them. They came in by sub, that's for sure. One of the Teasdale brothers up at Montauk saw a whole fleet of subs putting out to sea this morning.
Yeah, sure, sure. And the Spanish Armada as well, maybe.
No, it's a real thing this time. The Coast Guard fellas found tracks all over the place. Mr. Kennedy says there might be as many as 20 of them landing on different beaches between here and Southampton.
Yeah, sure, sure. Kennedy went down there and counted them in person, I guess. Give me a block of ice, Al. We've got a bunch of freeloaders coming up this afternoon.
Well, think what you like, but Mr. Kennedy says the Coast Guard have called in the FBI.
A block of ice, Al.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Mr. Ross. I'm afraid we're all out of ice this weekend. You might try the gas station.
Everyone's out of everything these days. Hell, what happens if the war lasts clear into 43? We're going to have to close down the country?
Soldier boys come first, Mr. Ross. It takes sacrifice to win a war.
I don't see how a block of ice contributes to the war effort. Guess I'll go up and try the gas station. I'll take these.
What you got there? Bottle of snail poison, hedge clippers, magazine. That'll be $1.65.
I haven't quite finished buying yet. Think I'd like a cherry Coke.
Sure. Fat lot Mr. Ross knows. A double shot of cherry.
Sure, why not?
And they'll murder him in his bed one of these nights. I guess he'll believe me then.
Maybe he's heard that kind of rumor before.
Yeah, but this time it's for real. Boy, I'd like to see Mr. Ross's face when the FBI hits town.
Think they'll really come?
Oh, you bet they will. Are you kidding? With German spies all over the place? Sure they'll come. Maybe they're already here.
Yeah, maybe. Funny it hasn't been in the news. Or has it? Maybe I missed it. Didn't hear all the bulletins. Out doing gardens, clipping people's hedges a great deal at a time.
No, it hasn't been on the radio. These radio people are always worried they'll scare folks. Teasdale up at Montauk, he spotted at least 3 subs, for real. But they'll never put that kind of thing on the radio.
I guess not. Here's your money. Ain't got anything smaller. Oh, damn. Oh, clumsy fool. Wet my magazine, clippers, and the $20 bill. Bit sticky now, I'm afraid.
Hell, what a mess.
Don't worry, I'll pay for it.
It's a dime for a double cherry. I gotta charge the extra for that.
Oh, that's all right. My fault. Can I help you clean that bill? Sorry, I ain't got another one. Don't make too many of those in my kind of work.
You want another cherry?
No, thanks.
Yeah, here's your change.
Sorry about the mess.
Yeah, okay.
what's to be done. It's the kid talking through his hat. Just spreading more wartime rumors. Possibly. But this time there could be some substance in it. Damn that overeager U-boat captain cranking up his diesels last night while there were still people on the beach. Now there are bound to be people out here poking around, asking questions. There are always problems on these hasty missions. Well, at least Dash and his men got safely away this morning. Just while I watched them boarding the train. Whatever happened down there on the beach, they gave no impression of having been aware of the havoc it might have caused. It's nearly noon. Now it's my turn to get out of here. Can't take a train if it's true the FBI might have been called in. Best thing is to try and hitch a ride. It's bound to be someone carrying fish or vegetables into New York City. The best thing is to get out of town and head southwest. Ironic to think that if I kept going long enough, I'd end up where home used to be so very long ago.
That was Episode 3 of The Ninth Man by John Lee. Adapted and directed for broadcasting in 25 episodes by Victor Mackeson. You have been listening to Best Sellers, featuring the masterworks of famous authors that have captured the imagination of the world.